There is strength in unity, and podcasting is a fantastic avenue for creating a community. I met Shirley Joseph at a Podfast event and was so impressed with her story of starting a podcast, sharing her voice, turning it into a community, and she's grown it into the Black Canadian Creators Podcast community and directory, becoming a leader in the space and helping other Black Canadian creators share their voice. So let's dive in to hear the story. So, hey, welcome to the Leverage Your Podcast Show. I'm your host, Lindsay Phillips of smoothbusinesspodcasting.com. My goal is to help you leverage podcasting to skyrocket your visibility, authority, and business by sharing insider secrets from podcast industry experts, including myself, who have created a successful business through podcasting. So let's dive in. Hey, everyone, welcome to the show. I have another Canadian with me today, and we actually met at the Pod Tour last month, and this is Cheryl Joseph, and you were on the stage and you had such great energy and such a great message that I had to like poke you on the shoulder and invite you on my show. So thanks for finally coming on the show and being with me.
Thanks Lindsay for having me.
Now, what impressed me with you, Cheryl, not only just your energy, your personality, your constant smile, but you have grown and created something that I really hope you're very proud of, because I know I'm impressed that you created Chinilla and a community and a Facebook group and the Black Canadian Creators group and community. You have grown so much. And what time period was all of that?
Ooh, well, I started podcasting in 2010.
Yeah.
I won an iPod Nano in 2008. It changed my life. And I was always into broadcasting. And this is a story I always tell. Like, I used to force my brother to play radio with me. So whenever
my parents had these hilarious.
So they would have these, remember those small recorders, and you put the cassette and slide in?
Yes, totally.
And so my parents used to use that to send mess. I guess my parents were podcasting before podcasting.
Ah! Oh my God.
I'm realizing that. Yeah, they would send like these cassettes to people back home in Haiti. So I used to like sneak that. And when my brother would see me carrying it, he'd run, because he's like, oh no, I don't want to be your co-host.
That is hilarious. I love that story.
Yes. So in 2010, my hubby and I, we started a podcast called Chonilla, because we're an interracial couple. And we, you know, every night while we were listening to one of our favorite podcasts at the time was Keith and the Girl. Honestly, like, I still say they are the Empress and Emperor of podcasting. If you don't know about them, you need to find out. So we used to listen to their show diligently, and I really love their approach of, at the time when podcasting, when you would explain to people what it is, and they were like, what are you talking about? Like, you're talking and you posted online, like it just didn't compute for people. And a lot of the podcasts at the time were, I felt like, comedy based. A lot of comedians were, you know, that was the majority of the category that was still the most popular, but like was just a whole lot. You didn't have all these different categories that you have now, right? From personal journal to society and, you know, true crime, like these kind of things. And so, their show, what I loved about them is not only that they would invite comedians in New York, but I specifically love the way they would be vulnerable and share about their life.
Yeah.
And I thought was that really stuck out compared to all the podcasts that were predominantly hosted by comedians. And so we were, you know, we always love to talk about, like, my hubby and I, like, we always love to talk about like what was going on in our lives to each other, like, or we'd be in a scenario and it's like the way he sees the world as a white man, and the way the world would, you know, treat him and see him was completely different for me. And we would be in the same room, or like, and we thought that was always interesting too. Like, wait a minute, that's not what I experienced. You know what I mean? So we would talk about that. We would talk about just like you say, we would make fun and laugh and put a comedy, but thought provoking at the same time, of any and everything you're not supposed to talk about. Good at work. So religion, politics, like those kind of things. But we'd always find the funny in it. We'd always like make it easy for people to really listen and consume and, you know, have fun with it in a respectful way.
Yeah.
And so we did that for 5 years. It was a way for us to, because we wanted to start a blog about being in an interracial relationship and what experience and some of the things we'd see in the news. And at night we talk about it and we'd laugh. And one day we're like, I wonder if other people would think that's funny, or other people think, not funny specifically, but do they think the same way as we do?
Yeah, absolutely. Are they experiencing it the same way you are as well?
Yeah. So then we're like, well, let's start a blog. But then we realize we're not writers, so let's just start a podcast.
For sure.
My background was already like in, I went to Humber College for radio broadcasting.
Oh, wow.
And so I brought a lot of like that experience into podcasting in terms of like, I get, and also for him, his background is in video games, like animation, sorry. And so his background in animation, my background in radio broadcasting, we just kind of brought it together, which helped us to create Chomilla and have a sense of structure and storytelling, but at the same time, being innovative and loose and different from not being what we've, you know, the usual structures of these two worlds. You know, so the fact that we both have these creative, coming from a creative education in a way, we brought that to the show. And so we did that for 5 years, every single week. The first 3 years, never, like, the only, we would only take time off when our kids had time off at school.
Yeah.
Right. So we take the summer off, March break off, things like that. But we did it every single week diligently. Our kids were really young. And then the last 2 years or so, we started experimenting to do every single day, like 5 days a week.
Woo!
That was insane.
That's brilliant.
And doing it live.
Oh. Like,
do a live recording of our show before Zoom existed.
Yeah.
Used a place we used to go on a place called
StreamYard,
I believe. And so we would do the show, and that really changed the course of like our listenership, and it just, our audience just grew like wildfire going live, because it was, some people, we've had people say our Friday nights is our date night. Like, we have our date night with you guys. Like, it's, so it's like we've become like their routine, right?
Yeah.
So people would see the rough raw version during the live, and then we would, you know, post the edited, clean, you know, version. And so a lot around the last 2 years, and we had a complete burnout. I mean, doing it for
happens.
5 years straight, and then and then our kids were really young. Like, when we started, we have three kids. Our youngest at the time was like, I think, a toddler, like a year or 2 years old. And so we took a huge hiatus for 4 years, because we just needed, our relationship needed it, and our children needed it.
Yeah.
And I'm grateful that we did that, because they really needed us. And so, but at the time when the last year of Chonilla, the first 3 years, we were very strategic. I was strategic anyway, not to let people know we were Canadian. I felt this sense that people wouldn't really listen to the show, which was true, because we would literally have comments or reviews saying, had I known you guys were Canadian, I don't think I would have listened, which is wild to me. I don't know.
It is insane.
Yeah. I don't know what the
perception, like, we don't get taken seriously or something because we're Canadian. I don't understand that.
that they either not might re- they might they may not relate, or they think we're boring.
I come across that as well, and it fascinates me why that thought process is.
I think it's because they don't get this is what I was told from listeners who listen to the show, because even one of the segments we were doing the first 3 years is we tried not to we have a news segment. I would share the news, and I tried not to have too many Canadian news, but I tested the waters a little bit. So around I'd say that mid third year, when I started placing some more news in Canada, Americans were like, yeah, you need to add more of these, because we hardly get any information or news about what's going on in Canada. So I feel like, so they felt like I'm getting a sense. What they actually said was, we want to know if you guys are as crazy as we are.
Nice.
So there was this sense, maybe because they weren't getting enough news of what's going up north, certain parts of the states, or maybe the majority of the states, maybe the big cities like New York will share or things like that.
Interesting.
But for the most part, they're like, we don't know anything about what's going on up here. So I'm kind of getting an idea from your show. And so maybe that's why, maybe because they're not getting enough about us that they're like, well, what's the point to listen to us? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, at least now you're loud, and I now too am like, I'm Canadian. But yeah, I used to hide it as well, feeling like, oh, who am I in this little person in Canada to branch out into this American market per se? And that, it could be a mindset thing. But what I love about what you were creating within Chinilla is that you were unapologetically you. You were sharing what's going on in your life, your perspectives, in that other people will feel the same way and have that sense of someone that understands you, but with humor. Now, at what point did you branch that out into a community? Because you created the Facebook group next. Am I correct?
Yeah. So I branched out because when we started, even with Chinilla and being, being Black and in podcasting, being a woman as well, there really wasn't that many of us out there back in 2010. Yeah. And so through what I liked about Keith and the girl, they had a forum, and that was the way that, you know, at the time, I don't even think Facebook, I mean, didn't have any Facebook group at the time. So they had a forum, and they allowed, they had a section in the forum to allow their listeners to share their podcasts, which I really loved. So the sense of all this to say that podcasting from the jump always had the sense of community. Mm-hmm. And I brought everything that I felt community-wise that I received from the podcasters from the States to what I'm doing now. Now, to kind of, like I mentioned with Chinilla, we did it for 5 years. In the last 2 years, when we felt more comfortable to say we're Canadian, we were in Montreal at the time, and I was like telling Clove, like, I really feel like I want to get more comedians on the show, like people in Canada to come on our show as guests. And so especially like if I wanted to get a guest that were like Black Canadian creators, I was really having a hard time finding them. It was very difficult. It took like a lot of time and lots of time in researching where they are. And so out of frustration, I was like, that's it. This is way too hard for me. I'll just create a Facebook group and then we'll see. And it took one, and sometimes it just takes one person who has a huge network and was like, that's a great idea. We really need this space. And that person invited so many people into the group. And so it went from like 200 to now we're at 400. And I know, like, I think I started Black Canadian Creators as originally as a group around 2018, I think. And now we're like 2023, we're at 415, but I have like 400 people that are waiting to get into the group.
Holy.
Yeah, I didn't want it to be a numbers thing because I wanted to make sure I vetted everybody.
Yeah.
A lot of people say they're content creators, but really are not, or they're starting. So it's like mostly it's people who are actually creating content that are in the group. So the community that was built out of necessity for me to make it easier for me to find guests and see each other. And I built the podcast around that. Like, I was very conscious to take, what have I learned from Chonilla? What are the mistakes that I've made? What are the things that I would do differently if I had to create another podcast?
Yeah.
And that was the biggest takeaway when I started Black Canadian Creators is, you know what, let's see what happens if you create a community around your podcast. Have the community first and then create the podcast from there.
But
from that, the community just overtook the podcast. But now I'm in 2024 going back to my roots where it all started, where I, for the past 3 years of pushing and elevating and growing Black Canadian Creators, the podcast went to the wayside for like at least 2 years. But I'm like, you know what? I'm always like that. Like if things are plateauing or things are just, it needs to be pushed again. It's like, always go back to your foundation.
Agreed.
So that's where I'm at. Like, I'm going back to my foundation of the podcast and building, you know, maintaining the community.
Yeah.
But making that the pillar and the focus is the podcast.
Yeah. For it. Why do you feel that you had such a hard time finding Black Canadian creators or podcasters? Is it that they're hard to be found, or there's just not many? And if there aren't many, like, why, do you know why that is?
Well, number one, they're doing like what you and I were just talking, like we were doing. They're not sharing that they're Canadian.
Right.
And that was really, really hard to differentiate. Who are the Black content?
Now I'm following you.
In Canada and not. And so that was the hardest thing to like, I'd have to dig deep and really listen to a show or, you know, watch a YouTube video to get a sense of like, that person sounds Canadian. Wait a second. I'm getting these Canadian clues. That was the number one thing. Another thing too, is that a lot of people, I don't know, but within our community as well, weren't hosting with their real names because for us in the Black community, they don't want to, out of fear of, I don't want to lose my job, or I don't want, I have like, he's kind of like George Constanza, like, worlds cannot collide. I'm kind of the same way. Like, for the first,
that's hilarious.
My worlds could not collide. Like, I have family shirts.
Yeah, yeah.
Shirts,
fair enough.
Yeah. So, they didn't want their worlds to collide. And so that was another challenge. But the biggest challenge was the fact of like, nobody was placing in their bio or even in the description that they, it's still the same. That they are in Canada. And so I was like, okay, if I create this space on Facebook, in the Facebook group, and make it private, it will help cover that. It will help for people to kind of find each other, see each other, support one another. And then if for some that wants to kind of keep that anonymity and just privacy of like, you know, don't want my world collide, at least I have a safe space within this private Facebook group
and feel supported. So what is the feedback that you've gotten so far from people that are joining that community?
Oh, amazing. I'm always floored on like how many people have collaborated with each other.
Oh, amazing.
That was the biggest thing, is that also that was the biggest thing to create the space, is not to feel so like siloed, not to feel so alone in your creation, but that you have a place where you can ask questions and maybe create content, go to that, you know, some people I've known who said, oh, we're a group of us went to Niagara Falls to create some content. You know what I mean? Like, that's amazing. Like, so that was the goal, to not feel so alone, to support each other, have a space for resource.
Yeah.
I first started the group, though, I was really like, hey, it's just there for us to see each other, and feel free to share your latest post. And then hopefully we can comment and support you that way, or leave a review and stuff like that. But now it's evolved where I'm, you know, especially this year, to be more a space of resource and not just like, hey, here's my latest podcast episode. Totally. Okay, bye. You know,
because you have the directory now as well. You've built up, so it's not, you're not just the Facebook group anymore. You've got the website, the directory. So share how that kind of, just the jumping off point from creating that community, kind of like what it's morphed into.
The directory was out of a lot of the content creators felt, again, this difficulty of being found and seen. And so a lot of like influencer or marketing agencies that works with content creators, they tend to hold that information privately. It was that, but it was also another from conversations of how many times that I would go to different conferences or events or networking events, and within the content creation world, whether it's in just focus only conference or whatever, I would hear all the time saying, we want to diversify. We want our network, like let's say our podcast network, to have more diversity, but it's really hard for us to find where are the Asian community in podcasting, let's say, or where is the Black community in the podcasting realm. So we were like, let's stop this excuse. let's not withhold that information like agencies usually do. They have their roster and they don't share who's in their roster. Let's make it searchable, and what's a way that we can help the content creators to be seen? And then that's by having a free directory that's accessible to anyone in the world, really. And then it helps for, hopefully, if a brand is like searching and they put Black creators in Canada, it'll pop up, and it helps them to hopefully they get, you know, content creators get a brand deal out of it, or some kind of collaboration out of it, or even just simply other content creators will want to collaborate with these content creators in the directory.
I love that. And I feel like having a sense of community and that sense of belonging, and that you've got people supporting you, that it would kind of make you step into your voice a little bit more, to want to be heard, to like raise your flag and put your flag in the dirt, kind of a thing, versus, you know, just being in the background by yourself. Do you find that to be true?
Oh, absolutely. And I think maybe that's why I'm getting that bug to like, okay, get back to your foundation of podcasting. It's because like just over the past good 3 years of like watching all this content, and, you know, because every single day I'm online trying to find, okay, who's another content creator that I need to spotlight. It is nice to, especially with doing what we do on our own, to know that, oh, I'm stuck here. Where can I go to get some answers in terms of like a contract with a brand, or I'm not sure what I'm thinking of switching my sound, and I'm not sure what to change in terms of the new microphone that I'm going to get, or things like that. Yeah. So it's nice. It really makes you feel not alone. And, you know, one of the things I find admired, I think, in a way, is Black Americans are very, like, no question asked, have your back. You know, like, especially when we started, how it's like we never spoke about how do we become, like, how do we support each other? It just, they have a natural sense of community. And like, for example, like even with us, when we would do our live shows, and we're all going into that same realm of like, let's, you know, have a live show. Now people can use Twitch, right? But we'd be conscious, like if they knew we were on Friday night, then the others would not do a live show on Friday night at the same time. And it was never spoken.
Yeah.
It was never
out of respect almost. Or like,
yeah, it was, I was like, oh, that's, so I really, there was something about that that I felt like I find the, in the community, like in Canada, was missing a whole lot. It was very, like, oh, you're part of my group. And so I know you, you know me. And we'll like, it was very like that. And not really thinking broader, like, no, really implement the community in what you're, in whatever that you're creating.
Yeah.
And it me that at the time, it wasn't, I find, very valued with brands. And now when you read and start talking to brands, are not about the numbers anymore. Cause I think at the time when they're looking for influencers, for example, they want people who has the highest amount of followers. And so I feel like they finally caught up to how much a content creator or an influencer or podcaster has so much more value in the community that they've built than just follower count. And that's, and so I guess you could say we were with not just Chonilla as a podcast collective, but even with Black Canadian creators, we were always ahead. I could foresee that that's where it was going to go, that there's going to eventually, it was just a matter of like, I think brands needed more education to understand that, like, follower counts really does not mean that much.
No, it does have to do with, to me, it's like you want everyone's voices to be heard. And I think that is more important now than ever. It has been before in the past. And I just, like, I get goosebumps because I'm like, I think about like you and your husband and your interracial relationship and you sharing your unique perspectives. But I think you two didn't realize the impact that it had on other people, and sharing your stories and like being your authentic self. And then you see this need and you're creating this community, and really, you're like creating this movement, to me, in my perspective, and you're being a leader in your space, opening up the doors for so many more people to share their voice and feel that sense of community, that they're not by themselves and they're in a safe space to then go out and be their authentic self and share their voice. It just literally gives me goosebumps.
Oh, thank you. Well, yeah, I mean, there's seven, I say that with even like when we've worked with clients to help them start a podcast, or, you know, I've had people say, well, you know, should I really start one? Because there's so many people who's already doing it. It's like, there's seven, it's like always had the perspective that I had to share with them. It's like, look, there's 7.7 billion people on this planet. If you, I'm sure even 0.5% of these people, that's still a big number, wants to hear from you, or have your experiences might resonate with them and your story. And then if you feel like maybe, like, that's why I always say, if you still don't know if you want to start a podcast, do it for maybe for your future, like for the generation that's going to come after you, as a form of, like, you know, journaling your life, and they get to know.
Yeah, that's true.
Like we make a joke, like we, you know, we podcast so hopefully our kids can listen to the show in the future, and it's going to help them save some money from therapy.
That's hilarious.
Know? Yeah. So your story is important. And so there's many people, I'm sure, that can relate to your story. And as long as you're very aware of who you are and you have a clear idea of the type of people that you want to engage with or listen to your show or watch your content, read your book, whatever that is, as long as you're clear with that, they will come.
I agree. You were featured in the Toronto Black Media Association, and I copied a section of that because I thought it was really powerful. So I'm just going to read it if that's all right. So you said, if you put your best foot forward and you're authentic and you're clear in your goal and the message that you're trying to convey for your audience, the doors are wide open and you can truly have anyone on your show and your possibilities are endless. And I really feel that you have always embodied that throughout your journey. And yeah, I love that.
Absolutely. Oh my God. I don't know. People are people. So it doesn't matter how big they are from what the world tells you, how big they are. It's all about finding people who relate to who you are.
Mm-hmm.
You can relate that back to them because you see some similarity in what you do and what they do. It is the possibility are endless. I remember one day watching a CBC documentary called The Eighth Fire. It was a 6-part or 8-part series. It was hosted at the time with indigenous journalist and musician. His name is Wab Kanu. And I remember he was one of those people like, oh man, I did not know about what we know now. I think of years that we're learning everything that we are learning and in terms of residential schools and things like that in Canada. But at the time, that was 2012, 2013. And so I sent out a tweet because I was like, look, I just watched this series and it's fascinating. Yeah. I'd love to have you on the show. And he said, yeah, sure.
Amazing.
And I was like, wow, it was, and I think that's why I said what I said in that article, because it was a moment in my mind that I thought oh, wow, if you just keep your best foot forward, you're just your genuine self.
Yeah.
It's a surprise what's out there. And so, and now look at him. He's the premier of Manitoba.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I think too, it comes
and
to
we told him at the time, it's so funny. We had him on the show. We're like, so when are you going to become Prime Minister of Canada? We said that way before. And then look at him. He's in politics. He's killing it. He's
doing I know.
So, but yeah.
And I think that feeling of being connected with others and expressing your story and your voice. And I think being authentic that way and it not just be about numbers and you care about things, I think you're going to attract people to you. And if you pitch people, so to speak, to be on your show or whatever it may be, or connect in some sort of way, I think people are attracted to that and just naturally would say yes.
Absolutely.
That's what I'm just kind of reiterating what you said, the possibilities are endless if you're being authentic and sharing your true self.
And as someone who's been a techie girl and for so long, and when I use honestly, TikTok is becoming one of my favorite.
Really?
Yes, because that platform completely represents that message. The more genuine you are, the more successful you are. It's out of all the different, with all the different social media, Instagram, you could fake it as long as you can. You can make it aesthetically pleasing as you can. I find a lot of the social medias are like that, but there's something about TikTok. That the more real and the more raw and the more you don't even think about it, it oddly rewards you. It's so many times where I've posted, I'm like, whatever, it's gonna, where I reacted to a video and I said absolutely nothing, but it was a genuine, didn't think about it, just posted it.
Yeah.
And that goes viral. was no crafting whatsoever. And I, something about TikTok always never fails out of all the different social platforms that I use.
I know. That is one I've never delved into, I have to say. I like resist.
Oh, it's amazing.
Really?
It's becoming almost like sometimes the kids will mention something to me. I'm starting to not go to Google to search now. I go to TikTok.
What?
Yeah.
That's crazy. I know. Maybe I should get on that bandwagon.
It's a great, honestly, I feel.
Because it's the fake stuff that I don't like. But if you're telling me that being authentic and just being your regular Joe self.
It really touches on you make it what you can make it to what you want. You could find your community.
Yeah.
I've learned about so many different types of community in a much more direct way. Compared to other platforms that I find, like it's really what you make it with TikTok.
Yeah, that's good to know. All right, maybe you've changed my mind, Shirley. So what is some advice for someone that feels that they want to step into their voice, create a podcast, and create a community to make a difference?
There's different ways. You know, if you're not sure on whatever, like you have no idea what you want to talk about or share. One of the great exercises I've done too is like asking people if you think about me, or if you had to refer me to someone, what would you tell them, you know, about me? You know, like what would they say about you if you needed to refer? And that's a great exercise. Like if you're thinking about like, what are three topics that might relate to me? If you're thinking of just me, my name, and that's a great way to kind of get an idea of what people think about, how they think about you. Like some people would think of you as, oh, you're like, for example, like there is a blogger that I know who was, you know, a lot of people thought of her as a Rolodex to what's happening and what's going on in Montreal. And out of that question, you know, winded up creating a blog where it's like, you know, all about that, like what's happening and what's going on in the city. And so, so that's one way. If you really are too shy, because that's a hard one to do, you know, to call and text or to text your friends and family, like, hey, what do you think of like the topics that represents me? Then you can, like I said, just start off as a journal about your life. Invite your friends and family or whoever, coworkers.
Yeah.
If you're, you know, comfortable with that. That's another way to start a podcast or to start any type of content creation. But if you're thinking of it like I want to make a living out of it then you really have to dive deep. It's like in, you know, marketing or business 101, right? Create your avatar. Who's your listeners? What do they look like? Where do they hang out? What are they into? And I really, that was one of the things we've implemented early. And I think it was through our education as like in animation and in radio broadcasting, because you're taught that. Bringing that, creating that, it was wild to see that that's exactly the type of audience we attracted. So that's really important. I say first comes first. Like if you're thinking like I don't want to do podcasting or content creation just as a hobby, I want to see if I can you know, make a living or a side hustle, then really have a plan. Like what's your show about? What's your mission? What are you trying to accomplish? What's the message that you're trying to convey when people are listening to your show? What are your pillars, right? Like what are the two or three or five, however pillars how many that you want, that you feel like you always need to hit when you're creating your content or you're creating your podcast? And the most important, again, is like create your avatar. Who's your listeners? And where can you find them? Because that's the only way you can find out where to find them in order to attract them to your show or your content, is that those kind of exercises.
Absolutely. So foundational. So what is next? What are you working on right now for Black content creators or Canadian creators?
What is next? Getting back to the roots. I'm looking around for studios or getting some idea of, yeah, because that's another thing. Because I'm a dinosaur in podcasting, I really had to come to terms that podcasting is going visual. And so even this is to do that a lot more. So I'm really working my way to figure out like how much, you know, of a visual do I want to do? And I don't have to have, for me, with this upcoming season, not every episode needs to have a visual. Maybe a few here and there will be. And it doesn't mean like, I find like the younger generation, like millennials and younger, there's this sense of like, I have to have the audio and the video for every single episode. And it's really what works at your capacity and your resources. Right. And so it's like, so for me, my capacity at the moment is I'll still create predominantly an audio podcast with Black Canadian creators, but maybe there'll be a few of the episodes where there'll be a visual for it as well. So I'm working on that. I'm working on, last year we had our official networking event for Black Canadian creators. So we're in May. We call it Soulful Bites, where we find like a upcoming or just a new restaurant in the city in Toronto. And I'm hoping eventually it'll grow where maybe I'm hoping to have ambassadors in different parts of the city to do that. So we'll have one in February. And the directory, we're trying to elevate it in a way to make it tangible. So we're kind of figuring out what does that mean and how does that look like. And then hopefully in the summer, and not hopefully, we're working on collaborating, building a bridge actually between Black American podcasters and Black Canadian podcasters. And so we have a high interest, like through amazing communities like Afros and Audios and Black Podcasters Association, where we are communicating and talking to see if they can come to Toronto and we can have kind of like a one-day mini summit of Black podcasters, or you know, for 2024.
That sounds amazing and quite ambitious.
Yeah, I know. It's
that's a lot, but that's amazing. I love that you're just like, you know, making it bigger and bigger and bigger. And yeah, I'd love to see like where it is in the next, you know, 2 years, 5 years. I know it'll be big things. I'm just so impressed with what you've created. Good for you.
Thanks, Lindsay. Thank you.
And how can people what's that? Sorry.
Oh, I was saying, yeah, I'm excited, and anything that relates to back to podcasting is always my love. It's my therapy, actually, really too.
I love that. Get your kids to do podcasts soon.
They're teenagers. I tried. I got them when they were little. Yeah, I'm so grateful that I got them to do it when they're young. So sometimes I go back and I listen to them when they're like 5 years old. So it's cute. The greatest memory to have.
I know. If,
you know, like to have that for life. And hopefully they'll become an adult and they'll hear it. They'll hear themselves little.
That is so amazing.
But now they're teenagers. They don't want that.
They got their own thing going on. How do people find Black Canadian creators, the directory? And so for any Black Canadian listeners, content creators that are out there, I want to make sure that they know about the resource and can join up.
Yeah, you can find any and everything. It all starts from the mothership, which is chonillanetwork.com. If you don't know how to spell Chonilla, think chocolate vanilla. So chonillanetwork.com. And that's where you could find the directory. It's called the BCANC or Black Canadian Creators Directory. We're at like over 550 now.
It's awesome.
It's wild. Yeah. And any social media platforms, we're under Black Canadian Creators, except for Twitter, we're under Black Canadian CC. And also I've recently, through my partnership or collaboration with Black Podcasters Association, I contribute for Black Pod News. It's spelled BLKPOD News, Black Pod News, and under the issue of Northern Voices. So I basically write about podcasts, Black podcasts that you need to discover and listen to, and also spotlight some of the content, some of the podcast hosts or podcast co-hosts, and then also share a few news within the Black media space or new media space as well, because that's another thing too, is that you don't get to see enough within our community who are, to dig deeper on who are some of the, you know, news or journalists that you see or read about. And so I thought it'd be interesting to have that as well within the Northern Voices issue for Black Pod News.
Whew. You got a lot going on.
I got a lot. Yes. Now it's about 2024 for me. It's about, okay, how do I utilize my community so I don't keep doing this for myself?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Seriously. Get ambassadors.
Exactly.
I'm so glad to have met you at the pod tour, and I appreciate you sharing your voice and your story. And I just want your community to keep growing. I think it's so important.
Thank you, Lindsay. I appreciate this so much. Anything to help, you know, more. My whole goal, like, for me is to create a space and to be in like conversation like this in order to help people discover more content creators. So that's huge for me. So for you to invite me to this, I 100%, I know not just me, but my whole community truly appreciates it.
You bet. I'm sure we'll be in touch and connected, and seeing as we're both Canadians and proud of it.
Yes.
Awesome.
Absolutely.
Great. So thanks again for coming, and see you later, folks. And see you next week on the Leverage Your Podcast Show. And that is a wrap for this episode of the Leverage Your Podcast Show. Your next step, head to leverageyourpodcastshow.com to listen to more episodes to get more insider secrets. And if you want to leverage your podcast for higher ROI, then get my free podcast leverage system training at leverageyourpodcast.com/free.